Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Money and Other Things Financial, our biweekly broadcast coming to you from the Hub in Boston, Massachusetts. This is your host, Bostonian, and I want to welcome you back from our last show, which was on Halloween. And I'm sure you've heard by now the news of the elections that took place 2 days after October 31st or on November the 2nd, we had the big elections and the terrific, depending on your perspective, of course, but as many of us believe that that follow this show, we are very happy with the results, especially in the governor's race in Virginia, and for that matter, the lieutenant governor, and I believe the attorney general. They pretty much swept in, and the so-called favorite prior to the election was Terry McAuliffe, and he had been governor in the past, and he was seeking to regain the seat, but he lost, and I think you all have followed that, hopefully, if you stay tuned to this show and to the general thinking going on in the country that we have to pay attention now and that turn our country back to the principles on which it was founded. But yeah, it was a big win for Glenn Youngkin. I had never heard of him, but I believe he's a businessman and he waged a good campaign. And I think one of the big issues was the school issue with the talk about teaching the kids and whether the parents should have the right to approve what is going on in the schools. And I think McAuliffe came out with a statement contrary to that. And if I had to pick one item that did him in, and that would be it. But anyway, I want to give you the call-in number, and then I'm going to go right into the coronavirus statistics and some of the other comments on the election and other things. But the call-in number is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, give me your first name, what city you're calling, city and state you're calling from, and if you're calling from outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. So I'm going to go right at the latest on the coronavirus pandemic statistics. On a global level, well, infected is 254,004,750, and that is up from 247 million plus, or about 7 million, or 3,500 a week, which we can divide it out. The active is 19,231,030. The number of deaths worldwide, 5,114,872, and that's up from 5,014,076, or up 100,000, or roughly 50,000 a week. Whether that's good, bad, or otherwise, we have to make that determination, but it seems like it's somewhat waning, but You can go to the website and check it out yourself for more information. And that would be, let me give you the actual website where I gather these statistics. What does Mark Twain say? There are lies, damnable lies, and then there are statistics. But anyway, the website is www.worldometers.info/coronavirus US. So the number of recovered is 229,658,848 on a global scale. In the USA, total infected 47,911,440. That's up from 46,815,698. And the active 9,215,204. That's actually down from 9,343,881. So the different ones are falling into different classes. 783 is the number, 783,549 number of deaths, and that's up from 766,266 for the U.S. Recovered in the U.S., 37,912,687. And there are 37 countries with over 1 million infected, as one new country has been added. They seem to be less and less getting added, but we may have a bunch coming up. But the country that was added this report is Vietnam. And there are six more on the horizon to pass the 1 million mark. They're all in the 900,000 area. So we pray for everyone that has been affected and has had any loss of family members, friends, or just people. We need to pray that this plague becomes a thing of the past. Okay, let me check the chat room one more time here before I get into some of these issues. Nobody's in there now, but we do have a call-in, so let's see who this is. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Jackie. I was really just listening. I was interested in the topic of the show, but I missed part of your introduction.
Okay, is there anything in particular on your mind?
I mean, I'm very interested in what's happening with the vaccine mandate. And
by the way,
the
what
numbers.
City and state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Northern New Jersey. I'd rather not say the city.
In New Jersey?
But I'm not far from New York City yet.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the vaccine mandates are a thing that's staying with us, and we see that the corporations of over 100 employees have to mandate them, but there are many, many legal cases being processed through the court system, and hopefully they will be resolved.
Well, I work in a school, and I don't see where they're making any mandates for the students.
Are you a teacher?
Yes.
And they're not mandating any vaccines?
No, they are mandating it for the teachers. They're not mandating it for the students.
Oh, okay, well, each state seems to have different policies. But do you think it's a good idea to have it mandated?
No, because I'm fully vaccinated, and I believe that I just know that my body didn't actually respond well to the vaccine due to other health concerns.
So you think you should have the choice?
Yeah, absolutely, because everybody's body is different.
Yeah, but the there are people out there, as you know, that want to mandate it, and they get their information from the medical field and the CDC and other organizations. But I agree with you. I think it should be a matter of choice. And if you want to get the vaccine, you can. If you don't, then you don't have to. So that's hopefully how it'll play out.
Yes, hopefully. I'm just watching the courts and the cases as it go, because everyone clearly is different, and you know, I don't never want to tell anyone not to get it, you know, because they
but you
know
don't want it
condition.
Forced. You don't want it forced.
No, I don't want it forced. I don't think anyone should be forced to actually get it, especially just to keep a job. Just don't.
Do you think the pandemic is starting to be solved as a, you know, as an issue?
No, I really don't. I just think that the only reason why we're not hearing the true numbers is because less people are getting tested, or they're
yeah,
not telling us all the testing, like the results.
Yeah, and then there's always a question about how reliable are the numbers, the statistics
yeah.
that we're getting. Nobody
right.
really is checking them. Just like on the voting, there's a lot of questions whether we can rely on the vote counts. So we have to put in systems that make sure we get good information, and then I'm sure we'll be able to make the right decisions.
Yes. Now, what state are you in?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Okay. So are they mandating it there?
Yeah, it is. In certain cases, it's well, the mandate from the federal government is the one that is if you're a business and you have over 100 employees, then you have to be mandated. But again, if you follow the court cases, there are a lot of challenges being made by the attorneys, and the class action suits being taken to the courts. It might even go to the Supreme Court. And it should be decided whether it is constitutional or not. Well, Hadassah, I got a few things I want to cover. I'm going to let you listen to the show as I go on to these other issues. But be sure to call in again, and we'll talk some more as the information comes out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was Hadassah from New Jersey. Thank you for calling. And if anyone else calls in, you can talk to Hadassah. He's in the chat room. He's the only one in there now. But maybe you can talk about these issues. He's concerned about the vaccine mandates, and that is a major issue in the country and in the world, for that matter. I understand Australia is having lots of very strict mandating going on there. Okay, well, I want to talk a little more about the election on Tuesday, which will have an impact on our financial life. As always, elections matter, and we had the big win with the governor's race in Virginia, and also there was a surprise election in New Jersey where a truck driver who only spent, I believe, $153 of his own money as he defeated the incumbent Senate president in the New Jersey State Senate. That was a real shocker, and it shows you what one person can do if he believes in what he wants for his country, and he takes actions that people can respond, and he was... It was probably the biggest surprise winner that I read about. His name is Ed Doerr, and he defeated Senate President Steve Sweeney, who had been in there for many, many years. Also, there's a story out from Project Veritas where He's a reporter and one of the most competent reporters that I've come across in years, as opposed to the reporting that we get from the so-called mainstream media. This is James O'Keefe, and he has a story out about his journalists having their homes invaded by the FBI and the elements of the New York District Attorney's Office. And he was, he is actually in a case where he's suing the New York Times over one matter, and the New York Times is the ones that are connected to this case in New Jersey. I'm sorry, the case with regard to the attack on the team's homes. They broke into their homes, and you can read more about that story on his website, which is www.projectveritas, that's veritas.com. Also, we know about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which is wrapping up, and we probably will get a decision on that in the upcoming week, or certainly in the not-too-distant future. Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial for the deaths of two people and the injury to a third, where he shot two men and shot the third in the biceps, and he is being prosecuted. But there's some interesting results there, where the man that he wounded seemed to support the fact that Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. So we'll have to see how that comes out. But the momentum seems to be with him not being found guilty. Also, I'm going to give you some figures for the financial statistics since our last show. The Dow Jones has closed Friday at $36,100.31. That's up from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ is also up, as is the S&P. The NASDAQ's at 15,880.96, and the S&P at 4,682.85. These are all pretty well near or above or at record highs. But many of us think that the markets are overvalued, and this is why we are concerned about any kind of a major correction, especially when we see the type of spending that's going on with the recent passage of the $1 trillion infrastructure bill that created a lot of controversy and has some Democrats very much concerned about it. That's pretty much opposed by the majority of Republicans. Gold closes at $1,865.20. That's up about $80 from 2 weeks ago, about $40 a week. And silver is also up at $25.31, and that's up from 2 weeks ago when it was at, let me check my previous sheet here. Silver was at $23.87. So that's a big jump percentage-wise. And I have an article here about how silver will probably be the surprise metal in the upcoming weeks. Inflation has reached a 30-year high in October. It's rising at rises at a 6.2% annual rate. Now, if you know about inflation, it's another form of taxation. Taxation they take is a little more honest. They take your money directly, but inflation takes your money through higher prices, through the loss of purchasing power of your dollar. So we have to be very concerned about inflation, and you need to do your due diligence to find good places to shop and to be able to buy things at reasonable prices. I have an article here that I want to read a little bit from. The reason what the consumer is doing because of these inflationary numbers, they are piling more into debt. They're turning to credit cards as the higher prices squeeze their wallets. And the consumer credit grew by $29.9 billion in September, bringing the total to $4.37 trillion, according to the latest data from the Federal Reserve. The increase in consumer debt nearly doubled the consensus estimate of $15.5 billion increase. The Federal Reserve consumer debt figures include credit card debt, student loan debt, and auto loans, but does not factor in mortgage debt. When you include mortgages, Americans are buried under nearly $15 trillion in debt, total debt. Revolving credit, primarily credit cards, rose by $9.9 billion, an 11.8% year-on-year increase. Americans owed over $1.01 trillion in credit card debt. Increasing levels of debt could signal consumer optimism, but it could just as easily signal that Americans are struggling to make ends meet, and they're turning to credit cards to pay their bills. Retail sales have been strong, but just because retail sales increase doesn't mean Americans are buying more stuff. The numbers also reflect rising prices as they are not adjusted for inflation. It's quite possible that Americans are buying less stuff but paying more for it. So watch these numbers and take precautions about the dangers of inflation. I am very cautious about where I shop, how I spend my money, so I advise you to do the same. Shop around. There are alternatives. You don't have to pay the high prices. I found one place where I bought 30 items all for $1 a piece just recently, and I did it online, and they delivered, and I paid a small delivery charge. I see we have a new caller, but I'm not going to get to him. You can join the chat room and talk to Hadassah. Hadassah is still on the line, but the other caller will have to call in again next week because I just have just way too much to cover right now. Okay, the approval and disapproval figures for the president from the Real Clear Politics averages for the period from 11-1 to 11-11, Biden's approval rating has dropped from 42.6% down to 42%. And the disapproval is at 52.7%. That's gone up from 51.9%. So the actions of the president are not being well received by a large swath of Americans. And not just Republicans, we see this happening even among Democrats and, of course, on independents. So anyway, we're getting near the point where I want to cover a post of another person who I like to comment on these things. But first, before I do that, let me let you know when the next show will be. It will be on Blog Talk Radio on November 28th. That is after Thanksgiving. So I hope you all have a good Thanksgiving. And I'm going to play this clip now. It's about from Scott Lively. He's an attorney and a pastor and a past candidate for Massachusetts governor. And he has some interesting insights. But let me first take a break, and we'll be right back with his clip. Be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with a little bit left of the live portion. But we will be going into the non-live portion shortly. But I want to start, because the clip runs a little long, I want to start in the live portion. So God bless you all. Listen to the clip, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Happy Thanksgiving, and remember the next show is on November the 28th, Sunday night, November 28th.
As a prolific consumer of anti-globalist media, I've been increasingly seeing what seems to me to be a campaign of incitement to insurrection and violence against the corruption. It is our people who are being induced to join in that chorus, and I suspect the effort is being orchestrated by the Chinese Communist Party in cooperation with Obama's intelligence agencies. And I do say Obama intentionally, not Biden. It gives off the same vibe, this campaign, as Charlottesville, the Faith Whitmer kidnapping, and the January 6th entrapment operations. But on a much larger scale. The short-term danger is that many otherwise level-headed constitutionalists will get caught up in that spirit and either resort to clandestine vigilantism or publicly echo the incitement to violence rhetoric or actions and be prosecuted for it or coerced into being government spies or entrapment facilitators under threat of prosecution. If you, viewer, are being lured into that trap, stop and remember that the reality of justice under the Biden regime is the D.C. jails and worse. More importantly, realize that it is the Marxists themselves who want and thrive on social chaos, and that if you allow yourself to be emotionally baited into doing something stupid, you will become just another useful idiot in service to their agenda. Anger at the corruption class is certainly justified, and even calls for capital punishment for those responsible for the entirely preventable massive death toll related to the pandemic and Great Reset. I'm talking here about the big pharma people, big media, big tech, those puppet masters behind it all, as well as their bought and paid for public officials. And should all else fail in the effort to restore our republic, even civil war, as an absolutely last resort, would be better than slavery. But, there is a lot of open battleground between here and there, and most of the infrastructure of our civilization is still intact, albeit being misused by the left. That fact was proven last night in the 2021 off-year elections, in which the Republicans, many of them conservatives, vastly outperformed what the leftist media expected, with Virginia being the jewel in the crown. The fears that we would see a repeat of the 2020 election fraud in the 2021 races did not come to pass, or rather the cheating was not sufficient to overcome the Republican leads. Hope was restored last night But inevitably, the national mood will dampen again as more Marxist outrages occur and will soon be back to a climate wherein many people are susceptible to, quote, vigilantism and violence is the answer, end quote, rhetoric. I wanted to address this topic for some time now, but in the afterglow of the November 2nd elections, I think it will make a lot more sense to people. Last point. In every human contest, Satan works both sides of the street. He always works to bring chaos from order and to cause people to defile and degrade themselves. He knows human strengths and weaknesses, and that there is a flip side to every emotional behavioral coin, one that can be exploited under the right circumstances. A person's natural assertiveness can be pushed into aggression. A reserved person can be pushed into passivity. It is only by staying centered on the narrow path of righteousness that one can avoid going over the line to legalism on one side or license on the other. The solution is always to think biblically and act ethically. The motto of my law firm when I was in practice years ago was Micah 6:8. Quote, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, end quote. We Christians in the MAGA movement must teach and model that balance of justice and mercy in humility. It is our job to ensure that the American counter-revolution against Marxist tyranny and globalist manipulations never degenerates into a French-style reign of terror in which the headline of this message could be taken seriously. It is no joke that the Marxists want that result. So anyway, that's my article, and that'll be published on World Net Daily Friday. It'll be tomorrow night. I think it goes up around 7:30 or so. And I think what I'll do is I'll link this show. I'll have them link that article to this show.
Okay, well, that's the first segment I want to play, and I got to move the tape up a little bit, and then we'll continue on. These are warnings that he's given to his listeners, and they're very wise words, so I would pay attention. And you can read the whole article on WorldNet Daily under the author's name, Scott Lively, and that's www.worldnetdaily.com. All right, here we go with the rest.
I never did criminal law, never practiced criminal law, but I studied criminal law in Trinity Law School, and I don't think the basics of entrapment have really changed. Entrapment is when the government, specifically usually the law enforcement agencies, set you up to do something that you wouldn't under normal circumstances do, and that's that line. That's the fine line there. That's where the court battle for constitutional, the Constitution comes in protecting you against being coerced into entrapment. If you have a pattern of behavior that shows that you are inclined to do the thing that you're being entrapped in, then you lose that defense, or it loses a lot of its power. And so at the very minimum, what these agents, I think, are attempting to do is they're trying to lure all the people who are coming from a MAGA worldview into the same place, and in a place where it seems like we're all buddies here, and then to salt the conversation with provocative comments that lean toward endorsing violence or insurrection. And more I've seen that. It's increasingly. And at the point where now they're starting to talk about chopping people's heads off and shooting this person, that person. Not so much overt, saying, you know, we're going to kill this person or somebody out to shoot that person in the head or whatever. It's not having gone that far yet, but I think that's what they're trying to solicit. That's what they're trying to elicit from people who get caught emotionally baited, right? That's what this is about. It's about baiting people so that at the very minimum, you make comments that go on the record, and if they're ever able to actually entrap you in something, you've lost the defense against entrapment because they're able to then show that you have a record of having made comments that suggest that's the inclination of your heart to begin with. They weren't really entrapped. You were just given an opportunity to do what you already wanted to do. And that's the essence of that's the difference between entrapment and willing complicity in some kind of conspiracy or criminal behavior. So don't be stupid, right? Don't be stupid. That's where the biblical worldview and the last comments in my article come to play. If you always seek to maintain a biblical worldview, and so that your mind thinks biblically and your actions are ethical, right? You're always working to hold yourself to the highest ethical standards, then you're far less likely to get suckered into doing something stupid, like making some comment, like somebody ought to shoot that person in the head. Once you've done that, once you've gone out with that, then you're fair game. And if you cross over the line into actual incitement, even if it would be tough for them to prosecute you, right? Our law enforcement agencies now are corrupt. Ever since Obama corrupted, really it goes all the way back to Clinton, but it got everything that was bad during Clinton and Bush went a magnitude or two further into corruption under Obama. And that's who's running everything right now. This is, you know, Biden's just a continuation of the Obama, it's a third Obama term, the same players involved, and probably Obama to a very large extent running things from his armchairs. The law enforcement officials, you know, that's why the FBI was engaged in all these things. I believe that January 6th was, I think that it was exactly what I'm talking about, that it was the deliberate entrapment of otherwise responsible patriots who, because of the emotion of the moment, got caught up and got ensnared into conduct that allowed them to be prosecuted or allowed them to be jailed. They haven't even been prosecuted yet, the ones that are sitting in jail right now for the January 6th rally, that they were set up. They were entrapped. You can see how that was done with the removal of the barricades and basically letting people in there. Some few individuals did act stupidly. They did break things, whatever. But I believe that the people leading the campaign of the overtly illegal acts were FBI and other agents whose purpose was to do that, and others as well. See, this is what happens. This is how prosecutors work. And this happened to my friend Kishore Punyamartula, medical doctor, who got taken down by Martha Coakley when she was the attorney general. It's a whole story of itself, and in a nutshell, he had a opioid-free recovery system and was threatening all the organized crime activity in Massachusetts. All these labs, where the real money in all this stuff is the labs, and that the labs are often owned by vultures and who are tightly politically connected, and I think that was the case in Massachusetts. Coakley's people took down some other people that had a bad lab that were doing engaging in criminal behavior, and they enlisted them to try to take Kishore down. and they had they sent them to have meetings, tried to lure him, tried to offer him bribes and all kinds of things. It didn't work. And I got the whole inside story of that. But that's what prosecutors do. They'll get somebody in their clutches. Whether they could take them down or not, whether they could prosecute them or not, they have enough on them to be able to convince them that they could serve time if they don't cooperate. And from that point forward, those people are owned by the their handlers in law enforcement. It's really no different than the way spies operate. The spy agencies would find somebody who's vulnerable, they're in the closet homosexual or something like that, and then they would get their hooks in them, and then from that point forward, they'd get them to do something treasonous, and then they've got them forever, right? Because all they have to do is just reveal what they've already done, and they're, you know, their head goes off at the chopping block. But anyway, that's how it works. So if you do something stupid and they catch you, or you even do something that's borderline stupid, or that's stupid for not necessarily criminal, on the borderline of criminality, and they get their hooks in you, then all of a sudden they can turn you into an unwilling spy, I forget the term that I'm trying to get, agent, whatever, or an entrapment facilitator. That's what these guys were with the Whitmer kidnapping, right? What you see happening is it's agents and those they had turned. You know, why would people do this? They're not doing it willingly. They didn't volunteer to become snitches on their friends and other people of like minds. They're trapped. You either play ball with us, you either do this, or you're going, or we're going to prosecute you. You're going down for 5 years, or you're going down for whatever. We're going to throw you to the wolves. That's, you know, you see this in cop shows all the time. It's real life. That's how they operate. And you can see that was behind all this. That's what's happening with this, right? They want all of us to be getting emotionally agitated to the point of doing acts of violence or vigilantism so that they can make examples of us. You have got to believe that every person who shows any indication of having the kind of personality that would have been susceptible to walking into the Capitol, like me, if I had been there, I wanted to go to January 6th, and it's just like, I don't like standing around listening to speeches, so I probably would have been over there with the rest of them. I might very well have walked into the Capitol, you know, seeing the barricades open and just walk in, being invited in by the cops, right? I'd be sitting in a jail right now, right? They would love that after everything they've tried to do unsuccessfully to take me down. That would have been it. Who knows whether I would have even survived that incarceration. But in any case, people like me, people like us, if you're a Brady on TV watcher, chances are you're the very type of person that they want to get. Even I'm not saying Mike Adams is doing this, but this is exactly the kind of thing that they would do. They would create a platform like this to use, serve as a magnet for people who share our worldview and be able to keep an eye on us. And then when we're all together and think everything's cool and we're all buddies, then all of a sudden you start getting, right, you know, the promotion of the idea of building a guillotine, right? That's the whole idea, building a guillotine. And that, of course, is really what the Marxists want. They want social chaos. There you go. They want social chaos. They want us to be doing things that they can point to, because then it validates their narratives. If they find one person that they can use, like the whole Charlottesville thing. Charlottesville was the first, I don't think it was the first, I think Ferguson even before that was a setup, but Charlottesville, I think, was orchestrated. It didn't happen on the heels of an actual event. They created an event as a magnet to bring people together, and then they did what they did. That's the whole idea. Just if you just maintain a biblical worldview, and you act ethically in everything that you do, and you are aware, keep in mind that the enemy is trying to ensnare you, then be on your guard, right? Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and that is how you get through all this. The election of last night gives us real hope of taking the country back. I think they might try to crash the global economy during the winter in order to prevent us from happening. But in the midst of that, don't give in to the Civil War mentality and justify the police state lockdowns that they want to bring in. We have to be strategic. We have to be smart. Don't be stupid. Anyway, I'm Dr. Scott Lively. This is Prophecy and Politics, show number 37. And we'll talk with you next week. God bless you.